God, thank you so much that you have loved us and cared about us enough that you sent your only Son, God, to die for us and to that we might accept the gift of eternal life, God. And we thank you for that. Lord, we also thank you that you have given us big dreams, big goals, God, and that those aren't things that are looked down upon, Lord, but you give us those dreams and those goals. And so, God, as we dig in and study your word, God, I pray that most of all that your name would be glorified above all things. And, Lord, I also just pray that I would just be a vessel, God, that I would disappear and that your words would flow through like living water, God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 is where our text is going to be. Now, we will be flipping around, so you might want to just take your little ribbon marker thingy and put it there so that we can come back to it later. But let's go ahead and read it, and then we'll get started. It says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Pretty familiar verse. If any of you have ever listened to a cappella, that's how I knew that verse. They sang a great song from this verse. But just to get started, what were some of your dreams as a kid? What did you dream about? I mean, for me, believe it or not, I wanted to be a bull rider back in the day. And, you know, a body like this, I don't know how many bull riders. I don't think my legs would have got up. I would have had some issues. Let's just say that. You know, and I was like, I definitely played the part pretty well. You know, I like the cowboy stuff. I'm not too much like that anymore, so I could fool you. But, if you look back in my old days, I was a little John Wayne, if you ask me. But you'd probably have to ask somebody else for an accurate opinion on that. The other thing I love to do is I love to play baseball, you know, and watch guys. Well, now later on, you find out that they're taking steroids. They're not as cool. But now, you know, back in the day, like, oh, Mark McGwire, the guy's amazing. He can hit a ball so far. I want to be like Mark McGwire one day. Or like Barry Bonds, you know, and it's weird that all the people that I liked ended up having taken steroids. But that's a whole different sermon that's for another day. But let me ask you this. Do you still have dreams? I don't think dreams are just something that we use as kids that say, oh, it'd be so cool if I was an astronaut flying space, woo, you know? I don't think that that's what dreams are for. I think those are good starter points to imagine and dream a little bit bigger. But do you still have dreams today? You know, my dream, and God's been good to kind of bring this to fruition a little bit, is to motivate youth into knowing and doing God's word through reaching, teaching, mending, and sending them out. I love working with youth. And God, like I said, God has gave me that opportunity here in this church. I currently am the youth pastor of Nikeo Youth Ministries, doing some exciting things, getting ready to go on a mission trip. It's going to, you know, so God's really kind of brought that full circle for me, which has been really cool. But I believe that these dreams that get put into our hearts are God-designed and sanctified dreams. You can look throughout all the Scripture and see how God's used dreams and visions and different things like that. Now, we don't have those same things. But each one of you have a passion that's dug so deep into your soul that if you could do it for the rest of your life, that you know that that would be something that you could glorify God in. And that's what we're going to get into today. Now, anybody has ever heard me talk or has ever met me or talked to me for longer than like 5 or 10 minutes has heard me say this. God delights to do the impossible things through improbable people to impart exceeding grace to undeserving recipients. Let me give that one more time, okay? God delights to do impossible things through improbable people to impart exceeding grace to undeserving recipients. Now, as sinners, all of us are undeserving, naturally. But God delights. Not only does he do it, but he loves to do that. He loves to do impossible things through you. And he doesn't say, well, some hard things. I like to do hard things through you. No, that's not what he says. What's something that you think is impossible? You know, 20 years ago, might have been thought that having a church in Ephraim, Utah would be impossible. To have a thriving church with a body of believers like this. But God put a dream into some people's hearts that said, hey, you know what? Ephraim, Utah is where I want to be. And this church, you know, God's given dreams to people that says, you know what? It's impossible. Impossible. People say, no way, you can't do it. And God says, watch. Watch. And today, it's kind of dark outside, kind of threw me off. But it's just how God uses the dreams that he's put into your life to do great things. And God wants to do great things through every one of you. And so, now, how does God do this? He invites ordinary people to dream of something so great that it would be impossible if God did not do it. Have you ever thought of something that say, you know what, wouldn't it be so cool if God did this? If God would do this. Those dreams and those things that he's put into your mind, they weren't there by accident, okay? So, but before we go much further, I want to say that we must realize that Christians who've gone out to do great things were not people that had super unusual talents. They weren't people that said, hey, I've got this. It was much the opposite. They were ordinary people who had a vision of something something happening and began to dream of the possibilities that could happen. God placed that in their hearts. Now, what does God have to say about dreaming big? Some people might say, you know what? Ambition, you can't have ambition as a Christian. No way. Nope. You just got to be humble and, janitorial work. That's all you got. You know? But there are people out there that say, you know what? If you have ambition and drive to do something great for God, they look down on you. But, and some of us have had actual dreams and goals that we've had and said, you know what? Those are irrational, not practical at all. So you just discard it and say, you know what? That's probably just not something that it can happen. No, it can't happen. Why do you think people do that? Is it because they think, you know what? That can't be a biblical idea. What do you think about this? Throwing away dreams that you have because they're unrealistic or impractical. There is a biblical basis for dreaming big, to have goals and ambitions. So let's do that. Let's go into a little bit about what God says. And first off, if you'd open up to Jeremiah 32, verse 17. First thing that God says, he says, I'm able to do what you think is impossible. I'm able to do those things. So, let's open up to Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. And it says, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Do you believe that? Now, I mean, past, you know, saying, hey, I believe that. Yeah, not in your head. That's in the Bible. I believe it. But do you believe it, like, in the depths of your soul that you say, God's character is one that delights in doing impossible things through improbable people? Do you believe that God is able? The second thing that he says is that God is desirous. He desires for those things to happen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now think about this. I want you to think about this and try and get a grasp on this, okay? Things which eye has not seen. What's something that is a dream of yours? Did you? It's like, I can't even picture that. You can't even picture it. It's probably a good indication that God is doing that. Second thing, ear is not heard. Like I was given before. A Christian church in Ephraim, Utah? What? You kidding me? For those of you who don't know me, I've grown up here my whole life. And the Christian churches before this one came around was churches that are small and quaint and preachers that are hellfire and brimstone preachers that like to do a little shake you up a little bit. But there wasn't much outreach, okay? So, ears not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man. Now, if it's not even entered into your heart, you know that God's got something a lot bigger than what you can imagine. And this is perfect with a missions team here, that as you guys go out and say, you know what? I don't know what God's going to do. But I'll tell you one thing. If you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, what's going to happen? Something big. You can bank on it. You can bank on the fact that if God says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, that could fill up. Has anybody ever seen a mustard seed? Super, super small. Okay? So you could fill it up with faith. You can move a mountain, not to mention a block that somebody's put in front of their heart. As you go out this week and witness miracles in being able to reach out to people, know this, that if you have faith in the fact that somebody will accept Christ, I believe that God can do those things. Very much so. We've seen it. Okay, let's go on. Let's move on. God has made a promise. Let's turn to Psalms 37, verse 4. Psalms 37, verse 4. Like I said, I am flipping a lot. And just bear with me. And after it, that was Job. No, don't want to read Job. I was like, that doesn't sound like the right verse. All right, Psalms 37, verse 4. All right. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Seems pretty simple. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So what does that mean? I mean, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, it's when people can look at you and God looks at you and says, you know what? his desires or her desires line up exactly with mine. And it's when God's desires line up with and lines up with the desires of our heart, or actually vice versa, when our desires line up with God's desires. That, and what does the verse say? I don't want to make sure that I get it right. He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, you've heard people say, well, what about if I ask for a Ferrari? We've all heard that one in, you know, church or Sunday school. But do you think that's the desire of God? Once you line up with the desires of God, the world's at your fingertips. God says, I will give you the desires of your heart. And he invites us. God invites us to dream big like that. And just in case if you didn't, you know, I do have biblical reference for that as well. John 14:12 verse through 14. John 14, verse 12 through 14. Says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. God didn't only say, dream big. He says, I dare you. He says, I dare you to take out a step that's big. And he says, and once again, I want God's word to speak. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And if you got a red letter Bible, who's talking? Jesus is. Jesus is. So what does that mean? Did Jesus ever lie? No. Was Jesus a lunatic? Mm-mm. A lot of people thought so, but he wasn't. That must mean he's the truth. He's the life. He's the way. That he's God. And that what he says in his word, if we believe it, if we believe actually what his word says, you know, and that's what I think all the time. If we would just take what the God's word says instead of mix it up with our westernized culture that, oh, God doesn't do miracles today. He does, you know, and we fill it up with a whole lot of stuff and a whole lot of knowledge and stuff. God doesn't change. So the miracle that he did, the miracles that he did are happening all around the world. Imagine if we got a grasp, just a little bit of that. We let go of our westernized culture and say, that's impractical, that's impossible. And we just said, God, your will be done. You do what you call us to do. Okay? Now, how does God birth dreams in people? I've got a list of people that probably all of us are familiar with. And so I want to just give you just a basic background of how God does it through the people that he's worked through with time. Abraham is what he's called. He is a great example of how God births dreams. He said he commands us first to step out of our comfort zone. How do you think Abram did this? God said, go, and he said, where? He says, that way. He's like, all right. And goes. What kind of faith is that? What if God said for you today, he said, go that way. And you just said, okay, and go. That's the kind of faith. He says, I'm going to take you from what you're comfortable in, which is, once again, I just praise God that Laternal's here. And they're going to do some crazy things this week. And so God just says, take a step this way. Your comfort zone's here. I want you here. And if we could do that as people, that we're so comfortable, We get so comfortable with our everyday lives. Imagine what God could do if he said, take a step this way. And you're like, all right. And starts with that one step. And look what Abraham did. A hall of faith. He's the father of generations and generations. The same God that used Abraham wants to use you. Okay? What about Joseph? Joseph is a great idea of what the actual practical idea of dreams that we use in day-to-day life. He says, he just puts the dreams in our hearts. Joseph started out with a dream. It ended up getting him thrown in a well and beaten up and taken to Egypt and the whole story. But the truth is, God puts those dreams in your heart. That wasn't even though he was pretty much flogged for believing that. God puts those dreams in our hearts, okay? Moses was a great example of how he allows us to fail in our attempts to accomplish his dreams in our own power. How many of you have ever experienced something like this? You say, you know what, this would be great if God did this, and you try and go do it by yourself. And say, you know what, I got this plan, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. How does that work most times? Epic failure. Epic failure. Okay? That is what typically happens. And so Moses, he said, you know what, I'm going to free my people. I'm in this royal position, so to speak. And he says, you know what? I see these people, they're roughing up my people. I'll show them. What does he do? He ends up murdering somebody. That is the epitome of epic failure, okay? You're saying, I'm going to do God's will and then kill somebody. Doesn't quite work that way, does it? And Moses is a great example that says, when we try and do something within our own power, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Okay, what about David? Through David, he teaches us through adversity to love the dream giver more than the dream. David was told at a young age that he was going to be king. And, this time there had been one king. That was Saul. And David, he's a young boy, super, super young. Think a middle school age kid. Says, you're going to be the next king. Now, if I was a kid, 14, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to be king. It reminds me of a Lion King song. Oh, I just can't wait to be king. That's what I would be thinking of as if I was David. That would be what I would be thinking of. But while God did still promise that, once he did get there, he found that being king had a lot of responsibility that came with that. He had a lot of power, God-given power. And in a moment of just, in just a moment where sin got a hold, everything went downhill. The dream itself, it just became a burden more than anything. But David, once he's approached by Jonathan, and says, what would you do with a person like this? And David's like, I would kill him. I would beat him up, he'd be thrown into prison, guaranteed, game over. So that's you. God opens his eyes. He's like, and you can read in the Psalms, where it's just the most heartbreaking thing where he comes to God and says, I can't even imagine. And it's through those things that he learned to love the dream giver rather than just the dream. The dream itself was great, and he had pretty much accomplished it. But it was through that adversity that he learned to love the dream giver, to love God more than the dream itself. Then Paul is a great example here. He clarifies our calling in times of crisis and often uses our worst failures as the platform for future fulfillment. Paul called himself I'm the sinner of sinners. I'm the man when it comes to sin, before God changed my life. What did Paul do that he could say, I'm the sinner of sinners? He killed Christians. He imprisoned them. He was the biggest proponent against Christianity. But it's when at those times where he's at the lowest point, farthest away from God, that it becomes a platform of future fulfillment. And on the road to Damascus, it says, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And from that point on, God used that. He used it from that point on to do great things through him. And so God has birthed dreams in his people throughout all history. Do you think it's different just because you're in the 21st century? Is it the point? Yeah, 21st century? Something like that. Just because you live in 2010. Do you think it's any different? Do you think God, where he gave dreams to these people, he said, "Not today. Mm-mm. God doesn't work miracles today. No way. God can't make the blind person see. Mm-mm. He only did that back then to show us that he was God. That can't happen today. Mm-mm. Nope. He can't make the lame man walk, the dumb man talk." And that's when we put our God in a box. And particularly to the liturgical group this week, as God uses you this week specifically, know this, that the God of all creation that desires your desire, he wants your desires to line up with his. If you have faith like a mustard seed, just faith, that could fill up a mustard seed. You're going to have a crazy week. Guaranteed. I want you to think about that, okay? So let me ask you this. How do we develop bite-sized dreams? Now, I'm a big picture person. Thankfully, God blessed me with a great wife that does great with details. And a lot of times I'm like, "You know what, babe? You just need to calm down. I got this picture taken care of, okay?" She doesn't take very well to it. But she is definitely a great balance for me in just saying, "Hey, well, let's bring it down. Let's start." So if God's planted a dream in your heart and you say, "Well, what do I do with it? Where do I go?" Let's start with this. And if you don't quite know, these are some good questions to start asking. Let's start with your life. What do you want to accomplish in your personal walk with God? What kind of person do you dream of being? Now, a lot of people look at this and say, "Well, I got to do this. I got to read the Bible for like an hour a day and do this and do that and do that." Which a lot of times is on the other side. God doesn't want to-do lists. Turn it around and make it a to-be list. I want to be a husband that loves my wife like Christ loves the church. That lines up with God's desires. If you take your to-do list and wipe them out of the way and say, "What do I want to be for the glory of God?" And you start looking at it that way, that's when And I don't know about you, but to-do lists overwhelm me. I look at them and say, I'm gonna sit down and watch SportsCenter. Forget that. You know, got my honey-do list, and I'm like, you know. But God wants to know who you want to be. He doesn't want to know all the things you got to do to line up with God. That's legalism. But when you turn it around to make it a to-be list, things change. What about your marriage or your future marriage, for those of you who are not married? What kind of husband or wife would you like to be? You know? I want to be the type of husband that works all day, then comes home, doesn't do nothing to love my wife and stuff like that. Or what's your dream? What's your dream to be the best husband? What's that look like? Okay? Those are some of the bite-sized things that you can say, it's my dream to love my wife like Christ loves the church. It's my dream. That lines up with God's desires. And I can support that. And God, while I'm always going to be a work in progress, guaranteed, He takes that desire and says, I'm going to move with that. I'm going to start with that. Okay, what about your children or your future children? What kind of father or mother would you like to be? Or if you have children, what kind of father or mother would you like to be with them? Those are dreams that you can have. You can say, God, place those your dreams inside of my life so that I can take those and start living those. What about your career? This day and age, people are career driven. What is it you want to be? How many of us are dreaming of having a worthless career, a dilapidated 9-to-5 minimum wage type of job? Anybody raise your hand? Mm-hmm. Besides Ben. What has God created you to do well? You know what you do good. And if it's playing video games, I'm sure God can use it. I don't know what quite to do with it yet, but He can use that. If you play guitar well, hopefully you won't be living a 9-to-5 dilapidated job if you play guitar well, like our friend Ben. But what has God created you to do well? You can use that in your ministry, in your daily walk with God. And then in your ministry, what kind of dream is in the depths of your heart when it comes to serving God? What is in the very most core you could say, if I could serve God doing this, I would be a happy person. Think about it, and I want you to stop and think. If I could do this for the rest of my life serving God, what would it be? And that is where your dream is. God's already placed it in there. He's already placed the seed there. And, you know, as I was doing my message, I was battling between two things. And, you know, the other thing I was thinking about is prayer. And how our prayers get watered down with disclaimers and different things like that. We have lost the art of simply asking. You know, have you ever felt like you deserve a raise in your work? And you say, you know what, I deserve this raise. I don't care what anybody says. You talk to everybody else about the fact that you deserve a raise, except for the boss. How many people either are that or have known people that have done that? I think we all know people like that. Or, yeah, this is classic stuff. Back in grade school, middle school area, you had this little crush, so to speak, and everybody else knew it. But you never just went up and asked, hey, My name's Brolin, you know. We transfer that to God in how we pray to Him. If we know, if we believed that God was the actual dream giver, and we believed that God can do what He says, what causes us to say, "Hey God, thank you for the day, and maybe if you like, maybe you could do something good with this person," and but we don't say, "God, save this person. God, I'm asking you to save this person." I'd like just to take you through to one example of just simply asking. Just simply just getting it out there. Not just making it something that we make this great prayer and say, "God, our Father in heaven, thou art thus the greatest God ever, thus. But turning it around and just making it a simple request. Turn to Matthew chapter 8 really quick. Matthew 8. And it's going to be verses 1 through 3. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed Him. And a leper came to Him and bowed before Him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be cleansed." All throughout His ministry, people came and said, "God, could you do this? Jesus, Rabbi, could you do this?" And He said, "Yeah." I can't remember too many times when Jesus said, "Nah." There were times that He said, "Wait. God is looking for you to simply ask. And if He says no, deal with it. It's God's will." But like in this case, they came and said, "God, if you're willing, you can heal me." And He said, "I am. I am willing. Be cleansed." There's a couple things that I just want to touch on just before we get finish up. One, the leper believed that God could do what He said He could do. He believed it 100%. When you ask God, do you believe it? When you ask God to say, "Hey, could you save this person from hell?" And God says, "I'm willing that none should perish, but all should come to eternal life." Do you think that's part of the desire of God to say, "Hey, save this person from hell. God, let me be used in that." I think that lines up with God's desires. Would you agree? Amen, right? It starts with faith, believing that God can do what He says He can do. The second thing is you got to ask. Not just saying, "God, this, that, and maybe if you could do this." That shows that you're already not believing anyways. Faith like a mustard seed. If you ask, He'll answer you. Guaranteed, God will answer you. I'm not guaranteeing that He's going to say yes. Not guaranteeing that He's going to say no. I'm guaranteeing that if you ask God, He will answer. And God values also persistence. God values persistence. You could ask once, and that's good. Ask twice, even better. One of the greatest stories that I can remember, and it happened right in our church, is of Kristen. And for years and years and years, she prayed. And I can't even remember the woman's name. But Susan? Prayed for Susan for years and years and years. Kristen was young. And me and Kristen grew up together, great friends. Kristen had this dream in her heart that Susan where she was infertile. She was not able to have a baby. But God put a desire and a dream in Kristen's heart that said, hey, that she deserves to have a baby. And Kristen prayed and prayed. Every time prayer requests were asked for, she prayed and prayed and prayed. God was faithful. I remember later, she ended up having a baby. And it was, the doctor said, it's impossible. She cannot have a baby. God says, what's impossible? According to what I have, what's impossible? God said, nothing. Kristen believed it. And if you believe it, whether you're going into your workplace or whether you're going wherever you're going, if you believe that God can do what he says he can do, even people say Disneyland is the place where dreams come true. But I think more than anything that in ministry, while it's tough, while it's hard, while you get in the grind, that your greatest dreams and your greatest desires, when they line up with God, that's where they come true. So here's just a simple process to start thinking about it. One, write it down. Don't just say, hey, this is my dream, and I'm going to try and remember it later on because I got school, work, and kids, and this and that. Guaranteed. Don't write it down. Like Penny said yesterday when we were talking to her, if you don't write it down, you'll probably forget it. So write down your dreams. Second thing, read over it regularly. Don't just say, hey, God's placed this dream in my heart. All right, I wrote it down, I'm good. Read about it. Read over it. Say, and then pray over your dreams. God, if this is your will, God, do this in my life. Do it. Then look for God's intervention and direction. If we're not looking around and saying, how is God fulfilling this? How can God do this? How can, you know? In football, they always told us to have our head on a swivel. Basically meaning, if you're just looking this way, guaranteed the person that you can't see over here is going to destroy you, okay? But if you keep your head on a swivel and you have the peripheral vision, you always need to be looking where God's working. Keep your head on a swivel when it comes to God. Because the truth is if you're just looking here and saying, hey, this is what it's about, and you're not saying, where's God, where else is God working? You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. Okay? And so, just to conclude, God has a dream for you, each and every one of you. I don't care where you're at in life. God has a dream for you. God has a dream for this group of people as well. And you'll be surprised that as we pursue what God's given, that God pursues us, and we pursue God's desires, you're going to be surprised how much they match up. And how God brought a bunch of crazy people, a bunch of weird people from every which way to do God's work. And so let's just pray. And I want to, to start out the missions week for the Laterno group, I'd like to just send them out in God's, you know, as they are pursuing God's desires this week. I want to send you guys out and that God has a dream for you this week. I want you to find it, each one of you. And I want to just send you out on the mission field in a great way. And so let's just pray. God, thank you for the Laterno group, for the people that have come and chose to minister here with us, God. Lord, as they go into the battlefield, I pray more than anything, God, that your love and grace and peace and patience would be with them. And also, Lord, I pray that you'd give them the faith not only to move mountains, but to break stone hearts. so that you could do the work. So that as they go out, Lord, that your word and your truth would go so far into the people's lives. They can do anything about it but just accept your word, God. And so, Lord, grant them peace, grant them boldness, and grant them love this week as they go out. And also, Lord, I ask that of our church body, God. Not only as Laterno's here, God, on a special mission trip, Lord, we are in the missions field, God. I send all of us out, Lord, in your peace, in your boldness, in your truth, as a servant to you, God. Lord, may our dreams and our goals line up with yours. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.